You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I can't believe I'm saying this, man, but I'll say it anyway.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
My warning to Buccaneers fans is that
we're going
to
kick you in the teeth.
The Lions will have a much better plan.
We're going to bite the kneecap off
on how to beat the Blitz than the Eagles.
We're going to be the last one standing.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests: Emmy Award-winning NBC Sports broadcaster Mike Tirico, NFL Network reporter Jane Slater, legendary rapper and actor Snoop Dogg. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
These are facts. These are all facts. Everything you just heard are facts. That we're having Mike Tirico and Snoop Dogg on the same show, with Jane Slater also joining us from Dallas. Those are facts. This is the Rich Eisen Show. That's a fact. I'm sitting here. These are all facts.
Yeah, yeah.
We spit facts.
Undisputed.
On this program, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. There's no question that you can dial that whenever you want and have chats with us. Lots to talk about today, no doubt about it. Live on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Our podcast, all 3 hours available for you to listen to whenever you want. There's no way to avoid us. Our YouTube page closing in on 700,000 subscribers. We greatly appreciate seeing our Facebook numbers go up, our Instagram numbers go up. We keep on throwing out the content. You keep taking it in. We really greatly appreciate it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Good to be seeing
you. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is back.
Oh, how convenient.
Why? Because there's an A-list star coming in hour number three? Is that how it works?
You think?
And because the greatest drop that involves Mike Del Tufo that doesn't involve, I guess, Bill Belichick telling him to do his job.
Yeah. What it do? It's your boy Big Snoop D-O-double-G coming at you live from Los Angeles. And my DJ, DJ Mikey D. D is in these nuts.
Yeah, he's coming in today.
That is the greatest.
There you go.
Off the top of his head,
And so Mike Del Tufo, all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, you're back to work today. So, oh, weird.
Someone else can make sure that, let me get this right, Grand Valley State game on FS1 is going
to
sound great.
UConn last night.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Pardon me.
Okay.
I watched that.
Thank you, TJ.
How'd it sound?
I mean, I had muted.
Mike, did they win last night?
To be honest with you.
Of course.
TJ Jefferson, good to see you, TJ.
From the depths of the sea, back to the block, Snoop Doggy Dog, funkier than the duck.
He's coming in.
Come on now.
He's got a new movie, The Underdogs, which is going to be streaming next week, exclusively on Prime Video. He plays a youth football coach.
Nice.
And he does that in real life as well.
Yeah, he does.
CJ Stroud played in the youth Snoop League. So there's lots to talk about with Snoop. He's a diehard Steeler fan.
That league is amazing.
It is, absolutely. And he used to coach against the current coach of Colorado in the Snooper Bowl every single year, youth league. Deion versus Snoop.
How about that?
So there's lots to talk about with Snoop when he joins us in hour number three. So, the Dallas Cowboys, I told y'all, I love being right. I told you Jerry Jones wasn't going to do anything. And I'll tell you right now, Jeff Lurie's not going to do anything either.
Then they're never going
to
win.
That's one way to look at it.
Like, be happy with losing.
That's one way to look at it. There's other ways to look at it. And in terms of the Dallas Cowboys, the famed Jeff or Giff, what is it? It's Jeff, right?
Jeff.
Giff.
The famed, it's not a Giraj.
Okay. That you see on Twitter, the Alonzo Mourning, it's one of the most famously used GIFs out there.
And I probably use that 1,000 times.
Where he's staring at, he's staring, like something bad is happening, right, to the Miami Heat. And he's staring out into the abyss, shaking his head, and then something pops in his head, and it's like, that may be right after all. That's the Dallas Cowboys. That GIF is the Dallas Cowboys. For instance, shaking your head. I cannot believe we won 12 games again and never made the conference championship game. As a matter of fact, we're the first team according to ESPN stats and info, to win 12 games at least in three straight years and never make the conference championship.
Really long head shake.
Oh, he did win 12 games, three straight years. He did win the NFC East. Here's another one. Man, I cannot believe Dak looked like that in the playoffs. He was
so terrible.
He could be winning the MVP this year anyway.
He's never played before.
I got another one for you. We led the league in points this year. Can't believe we lost that playoff game. Well, led the league in points this year. See what I'm saying? There's lots of head shakes, and there's the head nod. Mike McCarthy's just never going to win a championship. He did win one in his fifth year in Green Bay, and next year, you know, would kind of be year five coming up. Dallas Cowboys kept Mike McCarthy. I told y'all they were going to do it because he did do enough for Jerry Jones to sit there and go, if I fire him, I've got to go into the mosh pit with the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers and the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm behind the eight ball. All these teams have already gotten through a handful of head coaching candidates and interviews. I'm not going to put myself in that mix, am I? If I fire my coach, I also fire the play caller. Then you're shaking your head and you're like, if I fire the coach, I'm firing the play caller. And then you shake your head like, we did have the number one scoring offense in the NFL this year. Man, if I fire this guy, this is the guy who, you know, who hardly seemed to be able to get CeeDee Lamb the ball in the playoffs, even though he did, you know, get 9 catches for 100 yards from him, and he is the offensive player of the year potential. It's just nonstop shaking your head over what it is, and then when it all comes down to it, Jerry nodded his head and goes, I got a coach here, won 12 games, 3 straight years, and I got a guy who coached and called the plays way better than Kellen Moore did. Facts. Those are facts. And the fact is, he didn't want to go ahead and pull the trigger on Mike McCarthy and his play caller and start the process again. He doesn't want to do it. And everybody thinks Jerry Jones is just a shoot from the hip guy or what? Shoot first and ask questions later type guy, because unfortunately for you, TJ, in his Hall of Fame career, the coach who he didn't have patience with, the coach who he should have kept figuring out how to make it work with, the coach he then fired way too soon, was the best one you've ever had in terms of putting trophies in the case and creating an identity. Now, you could say you also had the greatest running back of all time behind, one of the best quarterbacks the Cowboys have ever had, and best wide receivers the Cowboys have ever had.
Oh, that helped.
And best defense and offensive line, and there is a roster there, but this roster is no slouch either. That's the problem, is he fired the wrong one and has held onto for way too long some of the wrong ones. And the question is, Mike McCarthy, one of the right ones or one of the wrong ones? And there's that Alonzo Mourning gif. Again, you're shaking your head. The 3 straight playoff losses. I mean, what the hell was that last play for Ezekiel Elliott after we couldn't get a snap off in the previous playoff loss? And then this one, the youngest playoff team in the history of the playoffs comes in and blows the doors off us after another 12-win season, and we finally got 2 home games in our back pocket to try and get to the NFC Championship game for the first time in 28 years. And we not only do we not, but we also have one of the best best home records in the history of the Dallas Cowboys, and came up with an absurd number of blowout wins, 8 of them, 20 or more, and we're one of only 4 teams to ever do such a thing in a home season in the history of the NFL, and we're the only ones to not make the Super Bowl. And we don't even get out of the wild card round. Head shake. Nod your head, Mo. According to the statement, Jerry Jones, quote, Mike has the highest regular season winning percentage of any head coach in Cowboys history, and we will dedicate ourselves in partnership with him to translating that into reaching our postseason goals. Certainly, Mike's career has demonstrated postseason success at a high level, and we have great confidence that that can continue. called the Sunday loss shared by everyone here. Mm-hmm. Not just Coach McCarthy. Our players, our coaches, our front office, and myself. There is accountability for our results. I am accountable for our results. The only thing is, Jerry can't be fired. The coach can be. So anybody who's asking me, what do I think of this? I'm shaking my head and then nodding it. Because you're shaking your head. This is not it. Since when did the Dallas Cowboys start touting regular season winning percentage? On your grease board, TJ, how about them Cowboys? It doesn't say in the regular season in the small print underneath it, right?
No, it says here we go underneath.
So that's not what it's about for the Dallas Cowboys. Shake your head, man. Then you nod your head. Well, this guy has won a championship before. I mean, it was a long time ago. But, you know, they did win 12 games for a third straight year. And he's called the plays pretty damn well. And Bill Belichick, is there any opportunity for him to be there? Yeah. But is there a guarantee that he could give you a better playoff result? Mm. Potentially. But are you going to blow it all out? Go through all the interviews? Take it probably all the way to the Super Bowl? Figure all that stuff out? I don't think Jerry had the stomach for it, straight up. And he's way more patient than you give him credit for. And because we think he's impatient, because way, way, way back in the day, he made one of the most impatient, irrational, gut, angry, personal, professional moves in the history of NFL ownership in telling Jimmy Johnson, you're out. Barry Switzer, you're in. And ever since then, that informs the way we view Jerry Jones. And he is way more patient and loyal than anybody gives him credit for. And we will find out, because it appears McCarthy will have no contract extension either going into the season. I don't know if they're going to make that announcement either. But he's got one more year left on his deal. And they sent him out there today to answer the questions, because Jerry put out a statement and Mike McCarthy held a press conference about an hour plus ago and said this about the message for the fans and his players.
My message would be this. We have established a championship program. It's just not the world championship yet. We know how to win. We know how to train to win. We have the right people. But we have not crossed the threshold of winning playoff games. And it's extremely disappointing to be sitting here talking about it. But I know how to win. And we will get over that threshold. I have total confidence in it, and that's why I'm standing here today.
And then with the trajectory you had at Green Bay, winning the Super Bowl in year five, do you see this program that you built here being on a similar path?
Yes. There you go. Thanks, John. But didn't expect a layup today, that's for sure.
Well, that bounce pass for the bunny was John Machota of The Athletic. Year four is next year for McCarthy, right? So I guess he would need another year on his contract. Is Jerry going to let him coach? So you got, with just one year on his contract, is a lame duck coach? So those are the options. You keep McCarthy, everything is the staff, you keep the staff. You don't have to go through all of these coaching interviews, even though it is the most decorated group of available coaches that I can remember. You don't have to make these changes. You get the play caller staying in place. Who knows? Maybe you get Dan Quinn back for the defense, because the defense performed so poorly. Some of the owners around the league might now suddenly blanch at hiring a guy they would have fell over themselves to hire last year. And the players apparently have given a vote of confidence to McCarthy. And to them, I would say, well, I think you better play better, because this guy ain't coming back if you fail again. Only problem for Cowboys fans is Belichick won't be available. Will Jim Harbaugh be available? Maybe he goes back to Michigan and then decides he does want to go to Dallas after all. He isn't. I don't know. Vrabel won't be there. He ain't going to be there. Tomlin may be there. He just met with the media today in Pittsburgh. We'll play some of that later for you today. He's going back to Pittsburgh for one more year, at least. I bet you they'll sign him to another extension there. Because you don't want a coach as a lame duck coach. And I guess, is that the way they're going to go? Are they going to sign him to one more year? Maybe they should. If you're going to go with McCarthy, just cannonball into the pool, man. Give him one more year instead of having the questions of are you going to be here next year or not? And all you got to do is just eat one year of your contract. And that's what I'm sure your point is, Chris. Is
What's more likely, that we're back here a year from now in this exact same situation, or the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl? Let's be real.
Well, it just depends on what happens when they hit the playoff field. And do you believe Mike McCarthy can coach a team and get them ready? But the bottom line is, he's not the one trying to find CeeDee Lamb. He can scheme it open. He's not the one whose defense, according to Dan Orlovsky, all you got to do is look at his Twitter feed, and he says that they can't handle pre-snap motions. Okay. Well, is that McCarthy's fault? I don't know. This is all stuff that Jerry Jones has got to look this guy in the face, and he made a decision, and he decided, I'm not going to go at this juncture into the pool of trying to figure out who the next coach is, rip it all out, root and branch, and start again. When we had the top scoring offense in the league and a quarterback that can win MVP, and we saw 12 wins on the board, and then it all went to crap, which is why I think at the end of the day, the Philadelphia Eagles are just going to go, we almost made the Super Bowl podium with this guy last year. Everything went to crap. Am I going to start interviewing coaches right now when everybody's coming out of the divisional playoff weekend? Am I really going to start that process? So it's easy for us to sit here and go, fire him. He's out. There's a long-ass process that goes with it that I don't think the Cowboys really wanted to countenance. So they'll run it back with Mike McCarthy, and that drama will just be there every single week next year. And that drama would have been there for any new coach, too, because that's what comes part and parcel with the Dallas Cowboys, who are now going to be no championship game appearances into next season, 28 straight, maybe counting 29. Wow. This is after they were in probably the first half of the NFC championship games through 1995 in the history of the NFL. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll ask you your 2 cents on it, TJ, and anyone else from Cowboys Nation. But we're going to take a break. And first up is Mike Tirico, who's calling the divisional round game in Detroit after calling the wild card game in Detroit. He also called the Chiefs win over the Dolphins in the freezing cold in Kansas City. He's thought out, ready to join us on those subjects. Next, this is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi, guys. Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people, because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposedly going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
So you're not going to ask Snoop for anything, right? Like, you've had enough.
Whoa.
It's been about eight years.
No, that's the goat of drops.
Okay, you're good.
And I've known him for so long.
What do you mean you've known him for so long?
In the old days when I was, before I was working a lot of sports, I did entertainment. I worked on The Tonight Show. He used to be on all the time because him and Jay were good friends.
Okay.
So I got to sound mix him many times.
Okay.
He's such a good guy. I love Snoop.
He's a good dude.
He's such a...
I know. How long since he's been here in this studio?
Forever.
Because he did Super Bowl. We gave him credentials for Super Bowl 50. And this is Super Bowl 58 coming up. So that's been 8 years.
He was probably on the first year we were on, right?
He was.
He was 100%. Here in 2016.
2016.
Right before the combine, because he went outside
old.
And
right.
He watched AT&T.
Right, and that's where he drew this the play that we have on the grease board over here that says, "Do not erase."
That was actually the fall in 2015.
So that was his first appearance. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been too long. That ends today.
You did celebrity picks with him in NFL Network, right, back in the day?
Oh, one of the most famous early moments in our history is when he came on to talk about youth football.
That's right.
Which was, at the time, a major initiative for the NFL. And there was a split screen. He was in studio in Los Angeles, and we split screened him with Paul Tagliabue. It was Snoop and Tagliabue in a split screen on NFL Network. That happened, and we were just like screen grabbing it.
Yeah. So Snoop's
back
been
in
on
the day.
Snoop's been on 3 times. He
but
was
none
on
since our Super Bowl in San Francisco.
He was on. Oh, then that's the 4th time then.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
we credentialed him.
He was at the Super Bowl show in Arizona.
I wonder, would he want to be credentialed for this year?
Would he?
Yeah. I'll ask him again if he wants to do it again.
Do it. Bring it back.
That's the best.
I mean.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This is amazing. You see, he calls a Detroit Lions home playoff game first in 30-something years, 32 years, and now he's calling another one. He's kind of the voice of Detroit Lions playoff football on NBC and getting set to call that game against the Buccaneers to kick off divisional playoff Sunday is my longtime buddy and friend from the Peacock Channel app as well as NBC, Mike Tirico. How you doing, Mike?
How about it? Good morning, bud. How you doing?
I know. 2 games in a row for the Detroit Lions in the playoffs after not having one in 30-plus years, what was it like in that building? You obviously, you know, as Collinsworth pointed out, live in the state of Michigan, and I'm no doubt surrounded by all these Lions fans, Mike.
Yeah, congratulations on your Wolverines,
Thank
by
you,
the way,
sir.
Rich.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome. What a week. I don't think the state has ever had a better football week, with Michigan winning the national championship for the first time since 97 on Monday, and then the Lions winning a playoff game for the first time in 32 seasons. It was obviously great scene, great atmosphere, emotional people, longtime fans. I'll tell you what the coolest parts were.
Mm-hmm.
Cold day, people in an hour and a half before the game, watching the Packers Cowboys on the big screen, and the Green Bay Packers, the rival for the Lions, being cheered loudly when they would score touchdowns. Everybody fully cognizant of a loss by the Cowboys meant what we have Sunday, a home game for Detroit for the second straight week. So that was one part. And then 45 minutes before the game, I'm down on the field. I was talking to somebody from the Rams. They looked at me and said, a coach said, "Have you ever seen a building this full at this point before kickoff?" And I said, "No." And then about 10 minutes later, I go back up to the booth. Stafford comes out and gets booed. Goff comes out and gets cheered. And it was almost like being at a UFC fight or a hockey game. Mm. They just started chanting his name, like 50,000 people, 45 minutes before kickoff. I've never seen that at an NFL game. So that gives you a sense of how special the atmosphere was.
And in the game. The game was easily the best game of Super Wild Card Weekend, just in terms of the competition, in terms of everything else that was going on off the field and the backstory The game was, you used the perfect word, Stafford slinging it. He was slinging it. I mean, nobody throws a prettier ball at different angles like him. And obviously for him to do that under these circumstances were remarkable. What a great game it was, Mike.
You know? Watching him from when he got drafted, Rich, watching a lot of those games where the Lions weren't winning, I loved watching him play. And I thought he endeared himself to people around the league, or anybody who was a Detroit fan. The first year in NFL films had him mic'd, he gets knocked out, busts up his ribs against Cleveland. I can go back in, going for two, gets up, goes back in, throws it, is in a ton of pain, and they win the game. I think it was 39-38 or something like that. And it was a lot like that on Sunday. He got beat up, battered, looking up at the ceiling of the stadium, which he's done about 500 times, but kept coming back for more. I love watching him play. I love what the Rams did this year, what Les Snead, the general manager, Kevin Demoff, the team president, and obviously Sean McVay. What those guys did, they kind of rebuilt it around some big studs. You know, when you're doing a remodeling project? Well, they had studs in McVay and Donald and Stafford, and they rebuilt around it, and the Rams are back. And I think it's great for the league, and I think it's great in general that they – turned around, took the cap hit, and survived, which is a lot like the Bucks, right? The Bucks were $80 million underwater of the cap with this big hit. This season was supposed to be, we'll see in a couple of years. And now they're in the final eight, a game from the championship game. Go figure.
Yeah, Aikman definitely pointed out during the game that they were overcapped, that they needed someone to step in, and Baker Mayfield was that guy, and now here he is coming to Detroit, where he's in the role of underdog, which is exactly the role he relishes. And then there's the Lions as well. What's your favorite Dan Campbell moment you've had already in the broadcast meeting room? I've never had a broadcast meeting prior to a game with him. I imagine he's dynamite, Mike.
It's the same thing. He's the same way. He's the same exact way that he is on camera, same way he is at the podium. He is consistent. I'll give you one, Rich. So there's a policy conference. It's kind of a state conference at Mackinac Island, which is the island that connects, or really is between, the lower and the upper peninsula of Michigan. It's held in May. I was up there hosting a panel. It was sports athletes and people in sports and leadership. And Dan Campbell was one of the guys there. And I got to spend some time with him away from football, away from the questions about your quarterback or your offensive line. And he's a smart guy. He's not a meathead. He's not a, 3 yards and bite your kneecaps and all the stuff that we talk about with him. He's a really smart guy. And I think, Rich, as you're looking at these 7, 8, whatever it is, openings for head coaches, what do we talk about a lot? Not coordinators and what's your game plan, what kind of program you're going to bring in. We're talking about leaders of men. We're talking about guys who can lead an organization with a clear vision and focus. And I can't think of anybody who defines that better than Dan Campbell. And it's an all-the-time definition from him when it comes to that. So that's why I'm very pro-Dan Campbell for the short-term, what he's done, and the long-term going forward.
Mike Tirico joining me here prior to calling Lions and Bucks on divisional playoff Sunday here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then again, Mayfield is coming in. This is a team that just eliminated the Eagles, and they did it with relative ease, despite having, obviously some holes. So coming in here, I don't know if you've had a chance to chat with the Buccaneers yet, what your 2 cents are about the NFC South champs to take on the NFC North champs here. Mike.
We will over the next day. I was just watching them this morning. They're watching back the Lions-Bucks game from week 6 in Tampa that the Lions won 20-6. I think it's a much improved Tampa team from then. I really love the way Mayfield is playing. The offensive line has come together. It's a movement on that line coming into the season, and I think they've played better as the year has gone on. Vita Vea had a good game in the playoffs against Philadelphia, and that back end has had some injuries, and now everybody's healthy, and it's given Todd Bowles multiple players to play in different roles in different places. So I really like what this team has, especially Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You go to those guys on a regular basis, and the Lions have struggled over the last 4 games, Justin Jefferson twice, CeeDee Lamb in the Saturday night game in Arlington. And then last week, Puka Nacua had a rookie record playoff game for passing yards, receiving yards. So I think this will be a pretty close game. It'll be a tough game. But I think the team that runs the ball better and dictates what they can do in the pass game and controls the clock, like most playoff games, probably the team that'll walk away, go into the NFC Championship game, which just sounds crazy. Yeah, right. Detroit and Tampa Bay, right? Two longtime downtrodden franchises, two teams that have become a home for number one overall quarterbacks who didn't make it with their teams. And now somebody's going to be a win away from the Super Bowl. Kind of cool story.
No doubt about it. Mike Tirico here on the Rich Eisen Show. And that Lions-Rams game was the second in two nights that you called on NBC, I guess, family of networks.
You streamed
one, and then you broadcast another. Just so you're aware, from my point of view on the couch, you sounded just the same streamed on the internet.
Streaming or straight through. Different streaming experience.
Couldn't tell the difference.
I will tell you. There's no difference for us. I'll tell you the one funny part of the night for me. I wasn't joking. I had no idea where Taylor Swift's
spot was.
I didn't know where it was. I really am looking down in the third quarter going, why are these people holding their cell phones up to me and Jason Garrett taking pictures? And then they'll kind of do the game and I come back and you look down and oh, wait a minute. It must be Taylor. She must be above us.
Yeah.
And until our director, Pierre Moussa, had the camera move, I didn't know. So it's good to find out. I came away more informed, and the Peacock audience got a little extra additive bonus for that.
For a second, you thought Karma was a boy being streamed on Peacock. And then you learned, that's it.
Look at you. Look at you.
Next level, as we used to say back on SportsCenter.
Next level. Don't start.
As Kilborn used to say, that's next level.
Good show, no post. No post for the 11 o'clock SportsCenter. It's one of the highlight pages. There'll be no post meeting. It was a good show. Nice pacing.
Good night. See you later.
I'll tell you what, the Chiefs, Rich, it's going to be fascinating to watch along the road. I think they're ready for it, too. They looked different. They looked kind of playoff in tune a little bit. We met with Kelce. He feels like there was a little bit extra juice. He didn't play the Week 18 game. Didn't go for that another one more 1,000-yard season. I like what they have, and Buffalo's defense got beat up in that game on Monday. It's a short week for them, even though they're home. So after our game, I'm going to be excited to get to a TV and watch that one. That's going to be, in the history of Mahomes and Allen, they've really built a Manning-Brady-type rivalry. And it'd be great to see one of these games in Orchard Park and see how Mahomes plays up there.
Yeah, I started the show on Wednesday, Mike, by saying we've seen Mahomes in every possible role in his career. We've never seen him in the role of road playoff villain, the guy who's going to come in and quiet the crowd and break 80,000 hearts at once, right? Like, we've never seen him do that before. We've seen him break the hearts of half a stadium in a neutral site Super Bowl. We've seen that. Right. We saw that last year in Arizona as the Philadelphia Eagles fans were all crying around me in the section I was sitting in. We've never seen him do it. And of all places, it's in Western New York where Bills fans are relishing finally having him in their house for a change. I can't wait
for that. Exactly. And he's won so many games. I think the record's something like 85-25, right? He's won so many good road games, tough environments.
Sure.
I don't think he's going to blink for a second, right? The question is, how do the other people around him play, right? I know Kelce's going to play well as he's played over the last few years, whatever that is at this point. How are the other guys going to do on the road in this environment? I speak of the young receivers. Are they going to come up with the big plays or not? Rashee Rice is a real deal weapon. I thought, Rich, if there was a takeaway from week one of the playoffs, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Rashee Rice, Puka Nacua, a bunch of rookies came in and played at a really high level. We always talk about playoff game and how you're going to deal with it. Man, a bunch walked right in and didn't blink and had just as good a game as they did in the regular season. So something to keep an eye on as we go forward. These guys don't flinch. They're not worried, and they jump in there and have the big impact as well.
And then there was the first game on NBC that preceded the one on Peacock. Stroud, he's out of his skull. And then Jordan Love in Dallas. I don't know if you saw these numbers. This is wild. They have the same exact stats, Mike, with the exception of Stroud had two more passing yards than Love. Everything else down to the rating is the same. It's unreal.
It's pretty nuts, right? Pretty nuts for first playoff games. Rich, it's a copycat league. We talk about that all the time. You guys talk about that on game day morning on a regular basis. When is someone going to look at this and say, you know what? the way to do this is the way Green Bay has, maybe not sit him for 3 years, draft a guy late first round, like your guy, J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
Like Michael Penix out of Washington. Let's draft a guy and let him sit for a year. Let's see the last couple of guys who've done that. Jordan Love looks like it's worked out fabulously, and that's 3 years. Mm-hmm. But also Patrick Mahomes didn't play that whole rookie season, waited until Alex Smith was finished, played the one game, the meaningless week 17 game at that point, and has gone on and hasn't looked back. Maybe instead of throwing the guy in week one, week two, listening to the fervor in the chat, maybe somebody looks and goes, "Look, Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes, there's something in common. We waited, didn't throw him in, and you're benefiting from that." Now, I know the salary cap, and it's easy on a rookie quarterback with the contract and all that stuff. Makes a difference. I'm telling you, there's a reason that they play with the poise that they do once they get their opportunity.
With the draft coming to Detroit, it's all coming up the state of Michigan right now. It's kind of crazy. So not to let everyone in on a little too much how the sausage gets made, but you are, as I let you go, you are going to go see Aiden Hutchinson. You're sitting down with number 97 for the pregame show. Okay.
Hutch for the pregame show. Now, I'm not going to do charades with him.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to try to take a game day morning shtick.
Got it.
But it's a weird day for me because Sunday we have a 3 o'clock start.
Yes.
That's the first game. We're usually the night game. So I get to watch game day morning.
There you go.
All the pregame shows, the early games, the late games. And I have to tell you, the charade segment might be the first. Michael Irvin's reaction last week was somewhere between hysterical and troubling.
He did react like he won a fourth Super Bowl for the Dallas Cowboys. It's just because of the Pictionary with him drawing. He draws so poorly. It's so terrible. It is truly the worst thing that's ever been created with a marker. And the fact that he got one right to win it all, he did react in a way that was, as you said, hilarious and also troubling. At the same time,
I agree. Scooby-Doo, exactly. Right? Yeah, Scooby-Doo.
And he drew the bus. He drew the bus because we've been using that as an analogy for the misery machine that the Cowboys have been in, that they're ironically enough still in, which might be brought up to Michael on Sunday a handful of times, or Saturday first.
Oh my gosh! So that's what I'm looking forward to, probably more than anything else on Saturdays, to watch the Michael Misery Index as you guys go through the show.
It's going
to
be great.
Just relentlessly bring it up.
Thank you.
I will say in all seriousness, and you know, I'm a friend of everybody who's on that show, really. The joy of that show is you laugh. I mean, look, you're on for 4 hours. You guys are there, dang it. You're on the air at 6 a.m. local time on the West Coast, but you laugh. And there's news, there's information, you get all the stuff you need, but there's just fun. And it's a reminder, this is entertainment. It is serious business, but it's good to laugh, and I look forward to those segments. And I sit there and I just cry. It's hysterical.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
I appreciate that. You tell Aiden Hutchinson I said hello, Mike. Okay, and say because he's the one who started this thing. He's the one who kind of started turning the ship around and changing the culture and putting Michigan back in the playoffs. And
are you okay if Harbs goes to the NFL?
Yeah. Come on.
You are.
Yes, because if he goes, let's say he goes to the Chargers, you know, there's that beautiful lake at SoFi Stadium that's man-made. He can walk on that, as far as I'm concerned. He can walk on it right now. Mike, come on. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
I think a lot of people around the Michigan program feel the same way that, you know, we don't want you to go. We want you to stay in 15 years in the legacy. But if you go, you gave us our trophy. You gave us the sweatshirt we can wear forever. We don't have to hear that, hey, you have the most wins all time, but you haven't won a championship since 97. Oh, yeah. All that stuff kind of gets pushed away for the next 10 plus years. And that's like, you know what? Thanks. Good luck. You're always welcome back here.
That's right. Anytime. That's the way I feel. Mike, I look forward to seeing you do your thing as always. I love you coming on. Thanks again, Mike.
Of course. See you, pal.
You get it. That's Mike Tirico at Mike Tirico NBC on Instagram. And by the way, great flex with the Masters mug, keeping yourself hydrated throughout this interview, Mike. Well done. I appreciate that.
Goodbye, friends.
Mike Tirico, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Goodbye, friends.
Goodbye, friends. Funny. Hold on. Let me know if it's the same thing. Hold on.
Close.
Yeah. Is the Rich Eisen Show mug the same flex as a Masters mug? Because if I'm not mistaken,
close.
I don't know if we could rack it back if we have the opportunity to do it. But is there a Masters logo underneath?
Oh, on the bottom?
The mug? Because that's a great idea.
Oh, man.
For sure.
Because then we could, that means we need to put a little Running Man logo underneath.
I think there is.
You don't need any more logo
I thought I noticed that at the very, we can't rack it back right now. Okay.
I think there
also,
is.
Also, Rich, I feel like the Rich Eisen Show mug's more readily available than a Masters mug.
It's easier to get, cheaper.
Very, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Easier. We sell them on our shop.
I mean, RichEisenShop.com.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's more readily available than
that Masters.org doesn't have the ability for you to buy one of those mugs?
I have two of them.
What do you mean?
Of course you do.
I've purchased two of
a
those mugs.
A lot of the
I
Masters gear you have to buy in person.
Hold on.
That's what I thought.
Guys. You don't understand what he just said.
He has two of them.
No. That's not, you got to look deeper with Mike. Okay. Don't, that's very superficial.
Surface level?
What he just said he paid for something.
I purchased.
Oh, I did miss that.
Yes.
All right.
That's, I broke one, got another one, and then got another one from my friend. So I did get one from free that worked the Masters. So I have one free, one I originally
paid
had.
For something.
I paid for two. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I pay. Matt, I pay for stuff. I'm paying for my birthday.
I never heard
right
that
now.
Phrase before. It did just kind of go over my head.
I mean, again,
my pants were paid for.
I don't know if Mike is doing this because Snoop was our correspondent for Super Bowl 50 that he's wearing his Super Bowl 50 hat
today.
See,
that's how I did. That's
what I mean. He did that on purpose.
And he got that for free.
100%.
No comment from Chris Brockman.
Understood. What's more to be said?
Okay, we'll take a break. 844-204. Oh, there it is. See, is that a Masters logo at the bottom?
It is.
Oh, it is. That's a cool mug. I need to get one of those.
A light bulb just went off. Light bulb just went off. Okay. You got to put a Running Man underneath the Rich Eisen Show mugs now. Make a note, guys. I also love the story that you've told, and if you wouldn't mind telling the audience here as well. At the combine, when you would be pulled into rooms, and you didn't know which room you were being pulled into by which.
Yeah, I was. You know, it come back in that day. Everybody was reaching for it. Agents was in the hotel. Yeah. Everybody was everybody.
It's all scheduled.
It
now
was scheduled structure. You can't be in a hotel. You can't be on the premises. Then it was everything was wild. So I'm backing away from crowds and people trying to grab me, and I backed into this room, and the Giants was there. And it was the Giants room, and they had people sitting down taking these tests. What do they call these things?
Oh, yeah, like the psychology test, right?
I mean, the thing was that thick, man. And I sat down, and they gave me this thing. And what is this? They say, it's this test, and, you know, we need you to take it. I said, oh, what picker do you have? It's like the 10th. I said, oh, I'd be gone for then. So I got to be walking out. I'd be gone. Well, I'd be way gone for then.
And then let's just get into it here. I mean, Belichick said he watched you run the 40 at the combine and that you ran it and then ran into the tunnel. And is it true?
That's not true.
Okay. You did not run into a waiting car and being taken to the airport right then and there.
No, because I had more interviews and all of that. No. That story just grows and grows.
It does. It's like a fish story.
It is. That's not true. I did everything that I was asked to do. Now, I didn't lift. I ain't do none of that because Jerry Rice to this day hadn't laid across my arms and let me bench press him. You know, I don't know where that comes from.
I love that you say that. When you're watching the defensive backs
put up the
weight and reps of 225
why?
And they're struggling to get the fifth one up,
you're what like, have you ever said, man, well, if that guy would have got one more rep, he'd have been there on that play. Never. Or the three cone drill. Like, no, this has nothing to do with nothing. So I didn't do any of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it all worked out.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our full archive. I'm back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, everybody. Ian Rappaport just tweeted out moments ago. Bill Belichick. We'll have a second interview with the Atlanta Falcons this weekend.
I saw that this morning.
Now, let me tell you this. You don't call Bill Belichick in for a second interview to tell him.
Yeah, we're going a different direction.
We're going in a different direction.
You don't call it different.
You know what I mean?
We found a better coach.
Hey, Bill, thanks. Appreciate the time.
All this time, you go down this road only to say we're going with Jim Harbaugh. We're going with just, and I don't want to use another name because it would just sound disrespectful to the other name, because the other name can turn into Bill Belichick. I pointed out, again, Raheem Morris, once upon a time, at age 32, got a coaching gig won 10 games in his second of three seasons with Tampa. And it was the only 10-win season for Tampa between 2006 and Tom Brady. And everyone looks at it, that potential hire as being less than because he ain't Bill. He's not Harbaugh. He's not even Vrabel. He doesn't have a Coach of the Year award in the last three like Vrabel. I'm just saying Pete Carroll had a shot first with the Jets and the Patriots and then 14 terrific seasons with Seattle. Mike Shanahan was a Raiders head coach before he became a two-time Super Bowl winning head coach for the Denver Broncos. Belichick had his run in Cleveland, then look at it. So I'm not denigrating when I say you don't tell Bill Belichick, let's talk for another time. We have some follow-up questions for you, Bill.
Can we see your resume?
And again, you weren't here, Mike, the other day because you were too busy working faders on Alcorn State or whatever you were doing.
We ran those jokes.
And so,
I'm sorry.
No, by the way, Alcorn. It's one big mad lib. I'm just going to, you know, I guess it's
Alcorn.
I don't know. Ball State. So, TJ, you said a
Halliburton.
Well, what you say, the meeting, a coach's interview with Bill mm-hmm. Belichick goes with. Like what?
Like,
again?
You know, Halliburton briefcase, yes. Much like when you popped open Marcellus Wallace's
yes.
briefcase, the light beams out and he's got, and I said six, but I didn't even count the two he has in the system. So eight rings,
right.
That's the name of the boat.
Right.
And that's his resume. And that's my job interview. Boom. Open.
So then
up,
what's the second interview with Belichick?
Maybe he forgot the other two rings is the first.
Yeah. Bring them all.
The boat
we
is
want to
rings.
See them all.
Yeah. So at first I said six, but he's like, oh, yeah, I do have these assistants.
Well, Ian also said Rich McKay and Terry Fontenot are going to be in the meeting also.
Because
so
this means
meeting with
we're
everybody.
Talking now we're talking staffing. Now we're talking what does the rest of everything look like if the team president, which I think is McKay's still – that's his still his title.
Yeah.
And then – the general managers are going to be brought in.
Yeah. Front office, personnel.
Because he's not going to Dallas. He's not going to Dallas. I thought that was a great part of What the Football with Susie and Amy this week, where Amy's like, hey, listen, I know Jerry Jones. Two of them can work together, Jerry and Bill. Well, Jerry's like, I'm not gonna go down that road. He decided that with McCarthy, he's staying put. Does Dallas play Atlanta next year?
Oh, great question.
Because that, I mean,
I don't
this is it. The sliding door moment. Because I started the show saying.
Like, oh, they do.
Oh, boy.
At Atlanta.
Oh, boy. Because, dude, I'm telling everyone, because I'm seeing McCarthy get eviscerated everywhere. And I understand why. Because you can't win 12 games in the NFL. Only to lose in the playoffs where you can't get a damn snap off because it appears you don't know you've got to give the ball to the umpire to spot. And you can't then get back to the playoffs with a 12-win season and lose by having a final play for Ezekiel Elliott's career in Dallas look like that. And then you can't then follow that up with a 12-win season and lose at home after you haven't lost a home game in 16 games to the youngest team in the history of the playoffs and give up the most points you've ever given up in your franchise history in the playoffs and then keep your job, can you? Well, the answer is apparently yes. Apparently it is yes, because Jerry doesn't want to go down the road of hiring someone else and changing everything. Certainly on the offensive side of the ball where everything worked. Because you'd have to go through a hiring process just to get to Belichick. And if Belichick's having a second interview with Atlanta right now, you're too late. What, Bill's going to wait? He's going to pump the brakes, tell Arthur Blank I'm not coming because I got to talk to Jerry? That's dicey. So, that's the sliding door here for a lot of Cowboys fans. But if Bill's going for a second interview, this sounds like to me, like, okay, so how will everything work?
Yep.
And if those pieces land, who are you bring your staff? If that wasn't somehow covered in the first meeting, I don't know why it wouldn't, but that's kind of one of the first questions. If I'm an owner and I'm talking to Bill, like, who's your staff? this is the way we do things here. Are you comfortable with that?
Yep.
Because these are sort of the lines I don't really want to change here. These work for me. I'm a successful man. You understand? As another successful man, this is the way I want to do it. Now we're just going to bring everyone in so everyone's on the same page, so we're completely collaborative how it's going to work.
Absolutely.
Soup to nuts, from PR to community outreach to draft to rostering to day of game situation to analytics to who's making the smoothies around here, you know, like all of it. Smoothies are huge.
Oh, so good.
It's a big deal.
So
yeah,
you don't just have a second interview to say, no thanks.
And bring in the president and GM and
president.
You know what I mean? Like,
This is
happening.
And so Dallas will come in to Atlanta and it'll be like, you could have had him.
Yeah, Dallas and a bunch of other teams as well. I just had a quick question, though, because I hate to bring this up because I'm a fan of this guy. And if I say this, it's going to be giving some type of...
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Can I tweet this out?
It's going to give validity to what a whole lot of people that I probably don't agree with have to say. But why is it that in the national media today, we're all up in arms that the Dallas Cowboys are retaining Mike McCarthy, and yet on the flip side, everyone's okay with Mike Tomlin staying with the Steelers? Like, what is the difference in these two stories? Everything that the Steelers fans have been complaining about seems to maybe have some warrant to it. But, like, is it because we like Mike? We're okay with that, but now we're going to...
Well, which Mike you're referring to? Tomlin?
Tomlin, yeah. But okay. Because it's the Dallas Cowboys and we're going to take down our pants and crap on what they're doing.
The two things. First of all, just real quick, the Steelers have been in the AFC Championship game since 1995. Two, they've won a championship since 1995 with different head coaches.
I've heard 95 was a long time ago.
I'm giving you the whole point of this. Three is the Steelers haven't had as good a roster as Dallas. Honestly, Steeler fans would kill to have, you know, one of the offensive games that they won by 20 just going away with one hand tied behind their back this year instead of what Matt Canada was putting out there for way too long. But I understand your point. They're two, you know, Tiffany franchises that have had a lot of problems.
I'm just saying it.
I get it.
Kind of popped into my head last night.
No, and I totally understand it. But you also can't complain about the heat on the franchise when you come on the air with your grease board every week.
I mean, Rich, you bring up things like a grease board. It is a dry erase board.
Which I hold up
victory and defeat. I don't just hold this up on the games they win.
Well,
on
you
games
have to
they
understand
lose.
This is the Dallas Cowboys. This is the only franchise.
But of all the things that we talk about, me holding a dry erase board seems to be very little as to why someone at home would go, oh, my God, I hate the Cowboys.
No.
Outrageous. It's all the talking heads that come consistently start every show
with
them.
But it's indicative of the Dallas Cowboys are talked about win or lose, and it is the only franchise when they lose, the entire media doesn't wait for the coach to talk. The entire media waits for the owner to talk.
But who's
the only franchise? And that's the heat that's being brought on by Jerry because of the way that he operates. And that's because of the Dallas Cowboy fans. You're everywhere.
Steeler fans are everywhere.
They are.
It's also expectation level, okay? Steelers have won 12 win seasons since 2012. Dallas has five since 2014.
Maybe you should switch coaches. McCarthy used to be a toll taker in Western PA.
I'm just saying.
And Tomlin might want the change of pace with another owner who's very patient.
That would be great.
Just swap roles.
I love it.
There you go. Boom.
Fixed
RES
it.
Consulting.
Fixed.
You love Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I'm obsessed with the fact that GQ has named Kim Kardashian Man of the Year. You're upset about it? I suggest you do better then.
If there were a Cosmo Woman of the Year and it was a man, how would you feel?
Well, that would just be lies. Name a man who's doing better than women right now and you can give him Woman of the Year. But until I see that...
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.